First of all, I want to say good morning, everybody. Good to see each and every one that has been able to come out and to be with us today. We are grateful for the presence of each and every one that has been able to come out. If you're visiting, we are grateful for your presence, and we invite you back any opportunity that you have to visit with us, with the group here at Westside Church of Christ. This is the start of the gospel meeting that will go through Wednesday. And so invite and encourage everyone to come back and to be a part of that gospel meeting. Everyone that's seen the flyer, seen that I chose the topics just in regards to this being springtime. And so this morning we looked at a swarm of bees that is in the scriptures, particularly focusing on James chapter 1. And then here in a few moments we are going to look at what I call daylight savings time. Tonight we are going to talk about going fishing. We've got any fishermen in the audience. And then Monday, spring cleaning. Tuesday, running. And then Wednesday, storm, which we've all been subject to here more recently. And so I would encourage everybody to come back and bring those, if you can, your friends and your neighbors, and we will make application to the Word of God. While I am here this week, looking forward to meeting everybody. I'm not very good at remembering names right off, so you just have to remind me of who you are, and I will try to my very best to do that. As we look at our lessons, if I say something that you don't agree with or that is inaccurate, you would be my friend to let me know, and so that we can get that corrected. I am encouraged to be able to come and to do this. This is the first time that I've ever held a meeting. Not the first time I've preached away from home, but that I've had any kind of much longer capacity than just maybe just being someplace on Sunday. And so I'm looking forward to the challenge, but also want to apologize in advance for being a little rough around the edges, if you will. So this morning, we want to look at a lesson that I just called a daylight savings time. And remember that last Saturday night, we did just that. We, what they call spring forward. And so we were able to push the time up, and it adds some time some daylight to our evening. And so I looked it up, and daylight saving time, for at least for 2025, it was March the 9th, and it will end on February the 2nd. I looked it up in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and it said that daylight savings time, the system for uniformly advancing clocks so as to extend daylight hours during conventional wake time in the summer months. In countries in the Northern Hemisphere, clocks are usually set ahead 1 hour in late March or in April, and are set back 1 hour in late September or in October. The practice was first suggested in a whimsical essay by Benjamin Franklin in 1984. Of course, it didn't become reality until a little bit later on. But I thought about that, and as we think about marks of spring, that is one of the very marks of springtime in our lives. We know that, when the time changes, when that daylight saving time has come, well, it's springtime, and spring has arrived. Now, more recently, President Trump was asked, "Do you think that you will do away with daylight savings time?" And in his normal style, like he is, he said, "Well, that's a 50-50. He said, "Everybody's divided on whether they like it. Some want it this way, and some want it this way." And he said, "I'll probably just leave it alone." And so I'm one of those people that I don't like daylight savings time. I want it to get dark, you know, at 4:30, 5 o'clock. As I said in Bible class, you will learn a lot about me throughout the lessons. Most of my lessons come from everyday life events. And so I have good reason for not liking daylight savings time. And it's because it requires me to work longer. And I'm a truss designer. And so, like all these new homes that's going on, the workers won't go home. And so I'm out at the job site at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, waiting for them to close everything down. And I can't get to the woods to go coon hunting quick enough. And so that's why I don't like it. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she likes it. So we're that 50-50 divided, like President Trump says, on the daylight savings time. So this morning for our lesson, we really just want to call our lesson time. If you wanted to give it a lesson, time is one of those things that we always seem to run out of. No matter what's going on, we always seem like we wish that we had more time. God has given us 24 hours, and we must learn to function within that amount of time that He has given us. And so, time, when we think about time, time is that period between creation and the second coming of Christ. Or, more practically, it is that period between one's own birth and death. And I say that because death seals our destiny. Once we pass from this life, we cannot move forward with any more time. Eternity, where we spend eternity, has been sealed at our death. And so we are just simply out of time. So with this lesson, we want to look at a few remarkable things about time. Now, maybe some of these things you have thought about yourself. Or maybe you haven't, but hopefully after this lesson that these things will come to your mind when you think about how much time that you are spending or losing or using. Maybe this lesson today will come to your mind. And so first of all, time is remarkable because it is valuable. The value of something is determined by supply and demand. It is simple economics. You go to the store and to buy something, and you may find out that the price is higher because it is one of those things that is in such high demand. And so, the more that product is removed from the shelf, then they can put a higher price because they know that people are going to buy it. Maybe it's something you have to have. Milk seems to be one of those things. It used to be $2, now it's $5.50 or something like that. You're going to need it at some point. Your kids like it. They know people are going to buy it. The charge seems like what they want for it. And so, time is very valuable. Time is always in short supply and in great demand. We always want more time. Everything that we do in our life requires time. We make our lives around, many times, a schedule. I went to my brother's house last Saturday, and he just put up this new thing. It's nearly as big as that pew right there, or at least half of that. And all it is like a big, huge digital calendar. And it comes with an app that goes on your phone. Everything that's involved in that is based around time. Time for meetings. Time to go do this. Time to go do that. And so everything involves time. We look back at the reading that the young man was so kind to read for us this morning in Ecclesiastes 3 and in verses 1 through 8. And he tells us there that to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. That long list right there pretty much will hit every station in our lives. More recently, I did a funeral, and I already knew that I was going to be the preacher for that funeral. This lady had asked me back quite a long time ago if I would do that for her, and I told her that I would. And so, for quite a few years, even though she was older and not in as well health, she was fine. I mean, she functioned in life. And so there was a time there when I didn't have to worry about putting a funeral sermon together. And then one day, that changed. And I had to put that funeral together. And we see that from that list. Everything that goes on in our life, and it's all there, and there's a time, and there's a time for it. I'm one of the people that I don't really sleep a lot. And I think that this lesson goes well for my reasoning behind that is because I want to utilize as much time as I possibly can. And so if you are a person that needs to get a lot of sleep, my wife's cousin, we can talk about her since she's not here. She might lay in bed all day. She's 34 years old. I mean, get up. Can you get up and go do something? But hey, that's her. I can't do that. I told Tiffany on Saturday, she's like, where are you going? I said, I'm getting up. I'm getting bed sores. I can't stay here. There's stuff to be doing, stuff to go do, stuff needs to be done. And so, I don't really sleep a lot. Most people, I feel like, we take for granted this unique, irreplaceable, and necessary resource, time. Look over in Psalms 90 and verses 10 through 12. Psalms 90 and verses 10 through 12. The psalmist, writer here, he says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it's soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We can see here that things really haven't changed that much, or changed a great deal since the hundreds of years before Christ when this was written. Our lifespan is still about the same time. He says here, in this verse here, that our lives are 70 years, and if by strength of reason, they are 80 years. If we live past the time that the psalmist writer here writes about, we're living on borrowed time. Time is certainly valuable to us. As one considers their short lifespan here on earth, we need to ask the question, do you value your time? How much do you value your time? Do you think how you can utilize your time to be the most beneficial for your life and for the life that we lead for God? All the things that we do in our lives, do we evaluate what and how we're going to spend all this valuable time? The second thing that, remarkable thing that I thought about is that time is so remarkable because it is not replaceable. There is no way to retrieve, not even 1 second of time once it passes. Most of us don't use the old clocks like that anymore. That used to be all the watches everybody had, but now most of them are digital. Mine will link to my coon hunting collars. So that's why it's like that. But we used to see clocks do this. And so we learned in school how to read that clock. And every tick, second, second, second. And every time one of them goes by, we can't back it up and get even 1 second back. Sometimes we say, I wish that I had a pause button. Because I don't want to spend these 10 or 12 hours at work. I want to push that pause button while I'm at work, leave time paused, and so then restart time when I get home, because I know there's so much stuff to do, so many things to do, so time to spend there at home. And so I could push that pause button, and I can just stop time for a little while. But it doesn't work that way. We can't even get 1 second of that time back. Once it's gone, it's just gone. This is not true of other things in our lives. When we think about some other things, one's character can crumble, but it can be rebuilt. You can make some horrible choices in your life, but you can straighten your life out. you can get back on the right path, and you can rebuild your life. One can lose his health if you're young enough, if you're healthy enough. There's a good possibility you may be able to recover. You may have lost a lot of money. Maybe your job is in stock market or investment. Times, our life goes up and down. And you may lose a lot of money. But given an amount of time and the economy turns around, more than likely you'll gain that back. However, once time has passed, it is gone forever. We talked about finding time, making time, saving time. We use these common figures of speech, but in reality, none of these things can be done. Think about this. Finding time. There is no time to be found because no time has been lost. There's no lost time just wandering around out there that we can go and grab. Whenever I was a kid, I used to play a video game. And sometimes maybe the level was about to run out or your life's about to run out. So you run around and you find some more life or you find some more time. We don't have that ability. We can't get any more time. Making time. No scientist or engineer, as smart as what they are, has ever made even a minute that we can add unto a day. God has given us our time. Man didn't invent time. God gave us time. And he gave us 24 hours of it, 24 hours in a day, and that's it. That's what we got. And saving time. We cannot deposit time in a savings deposit vault to draw out from later. Boy, because if we could, I would be saving as much time as I could so I could retrieve it later. But that just isn't possible. The Bible teaches us regarding the preciousness of time and the responsibility of using it wisely. We should take every advantage of the opportunity that we have now. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verses 15 and 16, Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to these Christians here in Ephesus, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Why, Paul? Verse 16, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Paul's suggesting here that we need to evaluate our time. Use our time that God has given us wisely. He says that walk the way a Christian should walk. The days are corrupt among us. While we have time and opportunity, we need to walk the way that God would want us to. And we do this because time is running out. Yesterday, I was caught in that fatality wreck there on the Interstate 165. And I was talking to the girls. They were wondering if I could see anything that would have been going on. And I really couldn't see much. I knew I wasn't very far from it. And Timmy said that it took me 3 hours and 9 minutes to get out of being stuck in that wreck. And that's a lot of time to be caught in traffic on a 3-hour trip to get to Brandon and Casey's, and it took me 2 times as long. As I was sitting there, this van goes by that said Warren County Coroner's Office. I'm worried about the time sitting here in traffic. Someone, their time is gone. Death will soon overtake us. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, Solomon writes there, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. While we have time and opportunity, we need to make the most of it. We need to set the proper priorities in our life. And I think that Jesus is a good example of that. And there in John chapter 9 and in verse 4, Jesus, as he came here to earth, he knew that he came here with a job to do. And that at the end of that job, he would be dying on the cross. In John chapter 9, verse 4, it says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Jesus knew that he had a job to do, and that he had been allotted a certain amount of time to do that in. That's the kind of attitude that we need to have. When we think about the priorities in our life, we need to make the most of our time, because it is not replaceable. The third thing that I thought about, time is remarkable because it is elusive. We have often made these statements, where did the time go? We see our children grow up, and it seems like time just doesn't stand still. 1 minute they're babies, and the next minute they're going into kindergarten. Sometimes my wife has a breakdown. She's really sentimental. We just have the one, little Allison. And so I'll see her crying. What's wrong with you? Oh, I just thinking about Allison, and oh, she's growing up so fast, and oh, it just breaks my heart. And tears are flowing down. And she's like, oh, you don't get it, you're a dad. But she sees that time slipping by with her little girl. And so we understand that. Where's the time go? I wish I had more time. We see our kids, one day they're 7, next day 17. And we say, wow, time has really flown by. Kind of like my coffee cup here. You know, in the Old Testament, I was reminded of an event. Joshua and the Israelites were in a great battle with the Amorites, but they needed more time to finish that battle. And so Joshua asked the Lord for more time. In Joshua chapter 10 and verses 12 and 14, in Joshua chapter 10 and verses 12 through 14, then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it, or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. On this particular event, the Bible tells us that God allowed time to stand still. If your Bible has maybe a title section in it, it may say that the day that the sun stood still or the day that time stood still. God stopped the time so that Joshua could finish the fight. But this was an exception to the rule. That doesn't happen anymore. He tells us here that it was just this one time that he did that. So, time, it eludes us. What's sad is that we claim that we don't have time when we have all kinds of time-saving devices. You think about the old days, maybe your great-grandparents, or maybe further than that back, to the time before we had tractors. And they may get out there and plow the field with a mule. They hook up the mule and maybe a one bottom row plow. And it'd take them all day long to plow 50 acres. Now we drive down the road and we see huge tractors and huge farm machinery. And we can plow 150 acres in just a few hours. Computers used to be half the size of this room, and now a computer can really be about the same size as your cell phone. We have so many time-saving devices out there, but we claim that we don't have any more time. When it comes to church services, to gospel meetings, any of these things like this, getting to go with other Christians, and I can't make it, I won't be there, and I just ran out of time. I understand that to a certain extent, but we have more leisure time than any man in history has ever had. Our priorities is really what gets in the way, and not time. In Colossians 4 and in verse 5, Colossians 4 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul, he says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. You know, as we go to work, we go to school, we maybe go to the gym, or maybe you have friends that you hunt or golf or fish or with or whatever that are not Christians, they're watching you. They're looking to see how you spend your time. Many times we don't really realize, but they are. They're looking to see, how does this person that says that I'm a Christian, I go to church, how are they spending their time? Now, I like a hobby. My reprieve, I guess if you will, is going coon hunting. And I like coon hunting because it takes place at night. And usually there's not a lot of other things going on at nighttime. But I enjoy deer hunting or turkey hunting the same. But where does that fall into the other things that we do in our life? As Christians, we have to utilize our time. When it's time to come to services, we get out of the tree stand. When we know we gotta be at church Sunday morning, bright and early, I don't stay out coon hunting all late night, Saturday night. And so, these are things that we can do in our lives at any time we just choose not to do. But if we utilize our time, then we can do that. But time is so elusive that we're just so worried that we're not going to have enough time to do everything that we would want to do. But as Christians, as we've seen here in Colossians chapter 4, we need to spend our time living for God, making the most use of our time as Christians should. And he tells us there, walk in wisdom. We need to ask ourselves, on what do we spend our time? As I said, I like a good hobby. I don't think I need to preach for a whole hour on what you spend your time on. You know, and God knows. Do we spend our time on our hobbies? Do we spend our time coming to services? Do we spend our time in front of the TV or on our cell phones, watching YouTube and TikTok? Or do we spend our time reading God's Word? Do we spend our time preparing our Bible classes so that we're prepared come Wednesday night or Sunday morning? Do we use our time just to sit, reflect on God's Word? How do we spend all that elusive time? Well, as we bring our lesson toward a close, what are we doing with the time that God has given us? And I don't think that God has left us alone without an answer to this question. If you would turn your Bible over there to Romans chapter 13 and the verses 11 through 14. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. The Apostle Paul, he writes here, and do this. So he's saying, pay attention to me, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. The Apostle Paul, he says, knowing the time, that it now is high time. What's the time for, Paul? He's going to tell us. He says it's time to awake. That awake means to be alert. He says it's time to be alert of the sin that surrounds us. He says, wake out of that sleep. That sleep is not like, well, I'm so tired, I've got to go to bed. No, that sleep that he talks about here, that is sin that is in the world. It's sin out there that can be in our lives. And he says, don't be involved with this sin. Be aware of it, be awake to it, and get it out of your life. That's what we need to be doing with our time. Getting the sin out of our life. We see that in verse 11. He says, cast off the works of darkness. That is, remove the sin from our lives. We can live every day of our life, but unfortunately, we are going to have some mistakes. But as soon as we realize that we have made mistakes and have sin in our life, we need to get it out of our life. He says, cast off those works of darkness. There in verse 12. Put on the armor of light. When we think about the Christian life, and there's many examples that we can think about of the Christian life being referred to as a soldier or war. And so the idea that goes along with that is that there's only two sides, God's side and the devil's side. And so if we put on the armor of life, we choose God's side. Otherwise, we have chosen Satan's side. And he tells us here that it's time to put on the armor of life. That is, it's time to put our life on God's side. And we do that by putting on truth. You see that also there in verse 12. He tells us there, walk properly, that is, honestly, that is, decently, we are to be doing things becoming of a Christian. As I said earlier, people are watching us. What do we do with our time? We need to spend our time being a good example to those who are around us. We see that in verse 13. And we need to put on Jesus Christ. He tells us here in verse 13 to put on Christ. And we know that we put on Christ through baptism. We can see that in Galatians 3 and in verse 27. So what do we do with our time? What do we do with our time? We need to awake out of sleep, cast off those works of darkness, put on the armor of light, walk properly as Christians should, and put on Jesus Christ. Our goal is to become more Christ-like each and every day of our life. And so, as we have time, let's do that. If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, you still have time. Right now, you have time while you're in this building. I can see all of you breathing. As soon as you go outside this building and you go home, what does time have in store for you? I don't know. And you don't know. And so, as long as we're here, we can make the most of our time. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 and in verse 2, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Paul, their inspiration to these Christians, to these here in Corinth, tells them now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You can become a Christian this morning by hearing the gospel, by believing in Jesus Christ, by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins. And then we must live our life faithfully until death. If you've done these things, but and you are a Christian, but you haven't been using your time wisely, I would encourage you to make corrections in your life. Make those corrections, get your life back on track, prioritize your time, get back walking for Jesus Christ, so that heaven can be your home. This morning, if there's anyone here that needs to heed the invitation, you can do so as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.